Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for yet another trip report. Is there any better way to start your week than a virtual trip down to Walt Disney World? We have listener Stephanie standing by. She grew up with Ricky, so this could be an interesting one. And we're going to talk about her trip about this time last year. Before we do that, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at touringplans.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit each and every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with pictures, and so much more. For the price of a couple of those new Dole Whip margaritas, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com. A huge thank you once again to everybody who supports the Be Our Guest podcast with each purchase over on Amazon. You'll still get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. So anytime you shop online, please use our Amazon affiliate link and bookmark it on all your devices. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1478 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com, and drop by and check it out. It's looking great now. Newly redesigned website, and also one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. It's a great start to your week, I hope. I know I'm excited because if you've been following along, I'm heading down to Walt Disney World Wednesday night. So follow me on the social media. I tweet a lot. So I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. I promise to put some videos and lots of pictures and all kinds of stuff on the Facebook page too. So come along with me. It's a cheerleading championship trip. I don't know what's going to happen. I know I'm going to be at ESPN a lot. I'm going to be screaming a lot, and it's going to be kind of nuts. So follow me down to Walt Disney World this coming week. But for right now, we're heading down to Walt Disney World with a great listener of the show. We're going to have stories about Disney and a little bit more, which I think you're going to enjoy. Stephanie is joining me from Boonville, Missouri, just a little bit west of Columbia, Missouri. I forgot which way I was facing. Stephanie, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. So how are things out in mid-Missouri?
Very springy.
Very good. It's good. It's good. It was so cold last year, so we've lucked out this year.
Right. Yeah. I'm excited to not be cold anymore.
Amen. All right. So let's talk. We're going to talk about your trip about this time last year. But before we do that, I teased this in the ad read at the top of the show. We don't often get to talk to people that are, 1 degree separated from the world famous Ricky from the Be Our Guest podcast. But apparently you have known Ricky since preschool. But more importantly, you went to high school with Ricky and were in the same driver's ed class. Is that not correct?
That is correct. We were even in the same car.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we both went to the same high school, too, here in North County in St. Louis. We both went to Hazelwood Central. Go Hawks. And so yes. I remember my driver's ed, real quick, we'll get to the Disney talk in like 2 minutes, I promise. We had this girl named Tamara, and I'm not going to say any last names because, I'm old as dirt, so you know what? I doubt she would even care, but she was not a good driver. Like, my grandpa took me out, we drove lawnmowers and we drove go-karts. Like, drivers, it wasn't too bad. This girl had obviously never driven. We went out into this subdivision around here called Castle Ray Estates. She took out 2 mailboxes. I mean, like, it was ugly. Like, the guy had to slam on the brakes on his, it was just a mess. So, was Ricky as bad as Tamara? Tell us some Ricky driving stories and we'll get on with the show.
She was great. I think I may have been the one who tried to kill everyone in the car. But as far as I know, I did not see my life flash before my eyes. when she was driving.
All right, Ricky. She did scare me a few times, but it was New Year's Eve, and I was just thankful just to get out of the bus line. So I really can't say much. So anyway. All right, well, let's hop into your trip. So you guys went down about this time last year, springtime, April. So tell us when you were down there, who traveled with you, and we'll get into all the details, talk about the memories.
Yeah, we went from the 18th to the 25th, so mid-April, and it was a multi-generational trip. We had 8 people. There were 7 adults and our 4-year-old. This included my 73-year-old mother-in-law, and then my parents, and then my 2 sisters-in-law, and then myself and my husband and our daughter. So we had 7 adults, 1 kid, still felt outnumbered.
So,
I'm
guessing that kid was a little bit spoiled on the trip, maybe?
Yes, he is the only grandchild on both sides.
Oh, man, poor kid.
And the only niece. So, yeah, she is quite the princess.
Wow. They don't want any competition, I can tell you that. It'll be a side eye if another one comes along at some point, I can tell you that. So. That's interesting. So before we dive into the trip, let me hear your Disney backstory. Like, why go there? Multi-generational trip to Walt Disney World. Have you grown up in a family that Disney's something that you've always done? Or, you know, is it something like, for me, it was later in life that I discovered the fun of Walt Disney World. So what about you?
For me, I grew up on Disney. We went the first time when I was 5. It also happened to be my mom's first trip. And from then we were hooked, and we've been 15 times as a family. And then this was actually, I converted my husband to Disney, and now I think I may have converted my in-laws, because they went once when my husband was 4, and then this was their second trip. So we had to school the newbies a little bit. So I just grew up in the Disney way.
So let me ask you this, because we get this question quite a bit on our Wednesday shows when the listener questions come in, and quite often we'll get, you know, I'm a huge Disney fan, obviously. You know, they'll say they listen to the podcast and they read the guidebooks, they're all in, just like everybody pretty much listening to today's show. But they've married a significant other, and maybe they have never been to Walt Disney World, or maybe they don't see it yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't get why you're so obsessed that you're on a message board or, you know, reading Disney Twitter, whatever. So what do you think sold your husband, maybe even your in-laws, on enjoying a place like, because I don't think we need to be obsessed with it, but I think it's fun to enjoy a place like Walt Disney World.
Well, we took my husband the year after we got married. We went for our year anniversary, and I think just like the cleanliness of it and the fun and the different kinds of entertainment, and there's something for everyone. Like, you can be a thrill seeker and there's stuff for you to do there. You can kind of be more milder and there's more milder rides and shows to see, and there's really something from age 73 to 4 for anyone to do.
Nice. I agree. All right. So let's dive into this trip a little bit and talk to us about, you know, the planning, because the more people you take on a Walt Disney World vacation, I really believe it can be a lot more fun. You know, if you have extended family, we travel with, you know, friends. I travel with Ricky and Brian a lot, you know, Pam Forrester and her husband, Steve. Lots of our listeners are there, and they've become basically my family over the last decade. And so when I'm there with a large group, it's always more fun. But I'll tell you what, like, planning that kind of a trip can be a little bit difficult because nobody else is here in St. Louis. So it's electronic. And did you take the lead and just do everything, or did you get feedback from the group? How'd you plan?
I took the lead, and my sister-in-law came up with the idea of making a Facebook group. So we made a secret Facebook group so that only we could see the group. And I shared like articles. I shared what I had done in the planning. I shared different restaurants, especially because one of my sisters-in-law eats gluten-free. So I was sharing tips I found online about how to order and where were the best places to get gluten-free goodies and things like that. So that really helped. So we didn't have this long kind of text thread. We got to have like concise posts that they could be like, okay, well, she talked about Magic Kingdom the other day. Let me search for Magic Kingdom in our Facebook group. That was really helpful, especially because my in-laws live in Ohio, so we couldn't really get together in person and kind of strategize.
Well, that's a great idea, too, because, you know, a lot of people are, you know, right there on Facebook anyway. They're going to spend time there almost every day. I hate to say it, but I've tried to cut back on Facebook the last 6 months, and I've done it pretty well. But, I mean, most people are going to check it every day or two, at least, you know, some people every 10 minutes. But you can also share, like you said, articles and multimedia. It's a lot easier than a text thread, like you said, and it's searchable. So that worked out well for you guys.
Yeah, that worked out great. Yeah, I like that I could say, oh, this article is great. Let me just post it right now.
Nice.
And people could check at their leisure, too.
So how did it work out for, you said, your sister-in-law or your sister with the gluten-free dining? Did you find options that worked out, like one meal still worked out great for her and everybody else?
I think every meal worked out fantastic. There was only a couple of little hiccups, but even at quick service meals, the chef would come out and be like, okay, do you like this? Do you like this? Do you like this? And then like whip her something up. And then there was, they have gluten-free options at, like, I remember at Pinocchio House, where they have the flatbread. They have a gluten-free flatbread. And so, you know, that was really easy to order. There were accommodations all around. If we had a sit-down restaurant, the chef came out and made sure, you know, can you eat this, this, and this? And it was seamless, I think. It went great.
I mean, I love hearing that, and I love that we can share that here on the podcast, because we do have, you know, thousands of, you know, tens of thousands of subscribers, and I hope that, you know, I know there's got to be, you know, a percentage of people who eat gluten-free, who have allergies, and knowing, because I think we hear it a lot, but just hearing the reinforcement that the Disney chefs are being proactive. They don't just want to make sure that, you know, obviously you're either not going to swell up. In my case, like if I eat a banana, I'll swell up just like a banana. You know, it's like, is a marathon runner, it's like the most ironic allergy to have, because in every marathon, there's like three places where there's people handing you bananas on both sides of the road. And I'm like, no, I got to go down the middle. Like, don't get me the banana. I'll, you know, break out. But it's like, you know, they don't just want you to stay safe. It sounds like, you know, that the chefs were taking care of your sister-in-law because they wanted her to have a great experience. Not just like, we're going to keep you safe and we're going to give you something that'll nourish you. We're going to try to impress you even though you have dietary restrictions.
Exactly. Yeah, we even did the bread service at Sanaa, and there was gluten-free options there for her to have gluten-free naan so she could participate in that experience as well.
Nice. All right. So where'd you guys stay? Because that's one of the most important considerations of any trip.
We stayed at Art of Animation. We got the Nemo Suites, and we ended up getting three. So my in-laws were in one, my parents were in one, and then my family of three was in one.
Okay.
So we had lots of space.
So for those that don't know, if you stay over at Art of Animation, you have basically kind of three options where you can stay in a Little Mermaid room. Those are your typical standard, you know, hotel rooms like you'd find at a Pop Century. You know, they maximum occupancy of four. And then you have the family suites, which you have the Cars and the Lion King and the Finding Nemo suites. But the Finding Nemo suites are your most, they would be like your preferred rooms over at Pop Century. Mm-hmm. They're in the center of the resort, close to the feature pool. They're not any bigger. They just, the location is what makes them just a little bit more premium than the other two themes, Cars and Lion King. So what did you think? Because one thing about Art of Animation, I'll say, if you're a Disney fan and you're kind of, you know, it's not a subtle kind of thing over at Art of Animation. It's a bonk you over the head. You're in the middle of a cartoon, you know, theme 24/7. So was that for everybody? Did you guys enjoy it?
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. We had stayed at Lion King previously, so we kind of knew what we were walking into. But yeah, the Nemo was great. It was a great location. We were right by the pool. And I just love the two bathrooms.
Yes.
That's really nice. And yeah, we just love the resort. The food court is amazing. We have all of our favorite foods we have to get when we stay there. And yeah, the theming is really, it really is in your face. So if you're not like a full-on Disney fan, you might feel a little overwhelmed. But even the rookies we took, it really enjoyed it.
Yeah, because I think it feels very similar, obviously, to Pop Century, which is right on the other side of Hourglass Lake. But to me, while Pop Century still has a lot of Disney nods, I mean, it's got, you know, the big Mickey, you know, telephone, and it's got, you know, Lady and the Tramp is one of the huge icons. But Pop Century obviously features more pop culture, not necessarily all Disney all the time, where Art of Animation is all Disney all the time. It's amazing, and it's bright, and it's colorful, and there's music playing. And you mentioned that you enjoyed kind of eating there, so Landscape of Flavors, their food court, was something that hit home for you guys, right?
Yeah, we have our favorite. We love the pasta station. They have some unique items like a Surf and Surf burger.
Yes.
Which is a crab cake with fried shrimp. And we try to recreate it at home and it's just not the same. But yeah, that is just amazing. And it's really unique. I've never really seen that before. And it's one of our favorites.
And think about how awesome these two resorts are going to be once we get the gondolas running, you know, the Skyliner. That's going to be amazing.
I know, and if we stay somewhere else, I may have to take, like, the Skyliner in so I can get a Surf and Surf burger.
As we're recording today, I just booked my room for Marathon Weekend, and I went back to Pop Century because guess what? The Skyliner is going to be running in January, and I love Pop Century, but that'll just be a new little that's the one that pushed me over. You know, usually I stay at a moderate, but, you know, give me the Skyliner and Pop Century, and I'm in, so I'm excited.
Nice, yeah.
All right, so talk to us about times in the theme parks. You know, that's kind of the thing. And you had a wide range of ages and I'm sure, you know, kind of goals for what you want to do within the theme park. So walk us through those memories.
Yeah, so our first day is always Magic Kingdom. And our first ride, especially with our four-year-old, is Peter Pan. It's just become tradition since we've taken her. So we did that. Actually, our first day we ate our Be Our Guest for breakfast, and that was really great. The bananas would have killed you, but I made everyone at the table taste them because they were like the best bananas on that Cronut that I have ever tasted in my life, and I had to share with the whole table.
You're so Ricky. Ricky would make me eat a banana too, so I can see why you're friends.
Exactly. It was so good. Like I didn't know a banana could taste this delicious. Yeah, and we kind of tried to focus on rides that like we could all enjoy, because you know we did have so many like different people who like, you know, my four-year-old can't really ride Flight of Passage, for example, and then my 73-year-old mother-in-law, maybe that wasn't her thing either, a roller coaster. So we kind of tried to even the things out so that everyone could enjoy an attraction. We weren't waiting for someone to enjoy something before we can move on.
So
tried to do that.
Did you put your fast passes on kind of the entire family experiences, or did you go with, you know, like everybody else, you just kind of put, you know, your fast passes on the hard to get attractions, even if it meant, you know, only four of the seven got to do that? Or how'd you, because fast passes is kind of difficult when you get a bigger group, trying to decide how you're going to use them.
Yeah. And I just did it for everyone for ease for every attraction. So I kind of figured out, I know what my family enjoys. So I kind of got some feedback about the kind of rides my in-laws would enjoy. And then I tried to just kind of book for the majority. And there were some times where people like sat out, or that was their time to kind of stroll through a shop that maybe my four-year-old wouldn't be interested in or something like that. I tried to just book for everyone.
That's a good way to
go. To make it easier on myself and them, so we all knew where we were going to be at what time.
Well, too, and it's really knowing that, you know, the folks that aren't interested in particular attractions, you know, especially more thrilling attractions, they can entertain themselves by just going in, you know, like you said, just strolling through a gift shop or sitting down on a bench because there's great people watching at Walt Disney World, enjoying the weather in April. Hopefully it was nice. You know, it's that just kind of takes the, because, you know, when you get a large group, I think, especially if you're the point person, like it sounds like you basically were, you know, I'm always the kind of person like, is that person having a good time? Are they getting bored? Are they feeling left out because, you know, six of us are doing this? So when everybody can kind of be self-sufficient, I think that puts everybody at ease, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then I tried to schedule my fast passes in the morning when I knew my four-year-old was on point. And so then the afternoon we could, you know, separate and do our own thing if we wanted to, or we could just kind of have a little more downtime in the evening. So kind of when it was cooler in the morning, we could rush and do the things we wanted to, check things off a list. And then after lunch, we could just kind of chill out and do what we wanted to do.
So were you guys rope droppers? Were you able to get there when the parks opened? Was that something that was within your grasp? Because with Ricky, it's kind of a struggle. I don't know if it's like a
friend. Yeah, I'm Team Ricky sometimes. I try to schedule things. Also knowing that And you know, having a child, you're just like,
yes,
you got a plan for for a meltdown. So I kind of try to do things a little later after park opening.
All right, so
just to kind of accommodate for her.
That's good to hear. I could see this princess boy. I'm sure she had everybody wrapped around her finger. Like I just see
it. Yeah, she does.
Because I mean, you know, I've told everybody I had two only daughters because, you know, yeah. Paige is 22 now, and so she was an only child for 11 years, and then Mallory came along, and then basically she was like an only kid. So, yeah, I've had that syndrome twice where I've had two princesses. So, yeah, I get it.
Yes.
And you take them to Walt Disney World, and that's all they do is constantly bombard you with everybody's a princess, and then, like, they come home, and, I mean, they think it is for real. Like, no, take out the trash, kid. That's just on TV. You know, like, come on now, you're not really.
Exactly.
I love you. Get to work. You're, you know, you got to be Cinderella before the ball sometime. Anyway,
exactly. So
walk us through some of the other memories from the trip. It sounds like you started at Magic Kingdom. Great way to get the magic rolling. So, you know, just stories and highlights, memories that still stick out.
One thing is we did the first haircut, and it was actually the very first haircut for my daughter. Wow. She scissors had never touched her hair until that moment. So that was a lot of fun. They were so good with her, and she got the pixie dust that stayed in her hair for like 6 months.
Yep.
I was finding it.
I've had that myself. I got that when I got a haircut one time. Like, you want pixie dust? I was like, well, and by the time I said, well, it was already in my hair. So what am I going to do?
I know. And the hat, basically got the Mickey ears, and the whole thing was really sweet. So I highly recommend that if anyone wants to go get that. It's only $25, which is, I think, very reasonable.
I hate to say it. It's such a bargain. Like, I don't want to say it because it'll be $75 by the time I go back.
I know. I was shocked, and it was so worth it. I almost want to, like, we're going again this summer, and I almost want to, like, wait it out. Can you get your second haircut there?
That's it. We're getting all these Great Clips coupons, but you can't go. Sorry. No supercuts. Nope. Got to go to Main Street.
Exactly. Only Main Street haircuts.
That's
for
right.
You,
hey, man, that could be a thing. It's like, oh, your hair's getting long. Got to go to the Magic Kingdom. Let's plan a trip.
Exactly. I think that's a great reason.
Nice.
One of the other things, obviously, they are very four-year-old centers. But we were walking through the World Showcase, and the band in Morocco started playing. And she was hopping and jumping and clapping her hands and dancing. And we're all enjoying watching her, and we're enjoying the music. And then a PhotoPass photographer happens to be walking by, and she catches his eye, and he starts snapping away. And we had Memory Maker already, and I was like, go for it.
That's right. Work it. Work it.
I know. So he got all these great pictures. There's one sweet picture of my husband and her dancing that's like wedding slideshow material. And that was one of the memories that really stood out for me was, it was just kind of like the perfect storm. Like, she was having so much fun. And then here was like a professional photographer to capture it. And it's, where else can that happen?
Yes.
Where,
because,
you know,
I mean,
a professional photographer just happens to be walking by.
Well, it's awesome because the thing is, like you said, you have Memory Maker. It's, you know, it's kind of like you're all in because it's basically an unlimited purchase. So you take all those photos.
Yeah.
And then when you get home, it's just the environment that they're in, because on vacation, typically everybody's having a blast. You got very cool backgrounds. And, you know, if you're in Morocco and World Showcase, it looks very exotic, you know, and those are just some of the greatest pictures.
Yeah, it was one of the greatest. It was one of my favorite. And she took a turn dancing with everyone in our group, and it was so sweet.
Wow. You got it. That's why you go. I mean, sorry, but that's why you go. I mean, honestly, that's, you know, because
exactly.
I think you think about, oh, it's that ride on Big Thunder. It's that meal at Be Our Guest. But really, I mean, to me, over the 15 years I've been going, the memories, the true memories are things like that, dancing in Morocco or a late night waiting for fireworks, just having a conversation with my kid. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's not the stuff you ever think of.
Yeah, it's not the, you know, all those fast passes you stressed about 60 days out. It was we just happened to be walking by. It was great. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Another one was we went from the shuttle between the two Animal Kingdom resorts, and the song from Moana came on, and my daughter just started belting it out like she was on American Idol. And the whole bus, like, there were other people on this bus, were just eating it up, and we're exiting the bus, and they're like, I think that's the best show I've seen. And that was just so sweet. Like, she was just singing, like, the world with her stage, and it was that was a great memory too. We didn't even, it wasn't on the itinerary.
You know,
so I think, yeah, we stress out about planning, but it's all those moments that you don't plan that seem to really stick out.
That's totally it. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about, because typically in the real world, and I'm using my air quotes here, you know, it's like, who wants to be on a bus, you know, especially when it's crowded at the end of the night, everybody's tired. But I have seen more than once, like, little kids that are just so excited to be at Walt Disney World. And sometimes I don't even know if they're excited to be at Walt Disney World, but they're excited to be like sitting on a bus on Grandpa's lap. You know, like, they don't get to see Grandpa that often. So, you know, if you pay attention on your vacations, there's magic happening, you know, moments that families are going to remember forever. And while it might not be your family, it could be something that moves you, you know. And I've seen that more than once, but I mean, a lot of times you're just tired. You just want to get back. You're just like, oh, if this bus doesn't move in 5 seconds, I'm about to strangle the bus driver. But if you just take a deep breath and look around you, a lot of times it's the other guests that are making magic, and it's pretty special.
Yeah.
Awesome. So any other stories, though? Because I love hearing these things. This is totally a great way to start a week.
Yeah, we waited in the toy. We went when there was a Toy Story Mania Fast Pass blackout, because they were kind of changing over to Toy Story Land. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't make a Fast Pass for that. And that is one of my favorite rides. So we stood in a line for like 70 minutes. Oof. It was a long one with a 4-year-old. And so I was like, I really hope she likes this. And we get on there, and I had to ride with her since it's my favorite, I called it, because we were all fighting over her. And she goes, look, Mom, I'm doing it. And she's naming all the characters, and she's, you know, pulling the string, and she's just got the biggest grin on her face. And I was just like trying not to cry. And I was like, this is amazing. So, yeah, it was just, and my Disney-loving heart just burst.
You know, you're a better parent than me. I'd be like, shut up, kid. I got to get all these. I got to break all these plates. Sarge is yelling at me, break those plates,
like,
soldier.
I'm just watching her reaction to things instead of, like, participating, which I guess half the fun.
That is great. You know what? You do it the right way. I'm just like, shut up, kid. I got all these rings to toss. These aliens aren't going to all get knocked down on their own. Knock it off. So, no, that's just, I'm a little competitive. I got an issue. So, let me ask you this. You mentioned you guys ate at Be Our Guest. Any other meals that stood out? Because we like to talk about food here on the show. So, what else stood out?
Oh, yeah. We did sci-fi. Because the last time my husband had a little motion sickness, so he didn't get to enjoy it. I was like, this is such a cool restaurant. You need a do-over.
Wait, hang on. Whoa. Breaking news. You got motion sickness from eating at sci-fi?
No, we... We made the mistake of right before eating that one time, riding Tower of Terror, Rockin' Roller Coaster, and Star Tours, and then going.
Oh, you threw in Star Tours. Star Tours just destroys me on its own. Boy, and you put the other two with them. Yeah, that was a bad decision. I can tell that. That's Disney 101. The only thing worse is having a big meal, then doing the three afterwards, because then you're like wasting all your food. You know, so bad call.
Yeah, so I decided he needed a do-over. And then it's also nice and cool, and it was a really neat atmosphere. And so everyone really enjoyed that one. And then the other one we did was Teppanito. My daughter really liked to help me cook in the kitchen. She liked to watch people cook. And so I thought that would be kind of entertaining for her. She was kind of meh on the food, but she really enjoyed watching them cook in front of us.
You know what? I think, you know, I just want to throw this in. I don't know if you did this intentionally, but I think when you're taking a kid that's, you know, preschool age, I've learned, and, you know, I think a lot of restaurants at Walt Disney World obviously lend themselves to this, but if you can take them somewhere where there's something going on to watch, like, say, you know, if you take them, like, to a Jico, there's not a whole lot happening. Even Boma, not a lot happening. Even Sanaa, you got animals during the day. Once it gets dark, you can't see them. But, like, sci-fi, it's like a big movie, you know, so that keeps me entertained. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, you know, all these other places that stuff is happening. And that's a great idea, because it doesn't give them an opportunity to totally get as bored as they might. You know, like Garden Girl's moving, there's characters. But if you go to, like, I don't know, take them to the Living Sea, Coral Reef, you know, there's fish there. I mean, there's a big fish tank. But I don't know. I think that's a great call to kind of, you know, make it entertainment and dining, especially when you have little guys, little girls, little kids.
Oh, yeah.
So where else do you guys go?
Those were mostly the sit-down ones we went to. I tried to do kind of just one a day. We did do Santuli Canteen, which...
Oh, love it.
Man, that's so good.
So good.
And we did Pandora at night. We kind of had an easy night of going to eat there and then kind of explore it at night because we had never been. That was our first time. Trying to think of where else we ate. We ate at our food court a lot, which was kind of really, it was really nice. We ate dinner there quite a few nights, but it was a good time for us to kind of decompress, talk about our days, to talk about the memories we had made, or if we had done different stuff, how those people's experiences were. And so it was a good time to kind of just sit and chat and not feel like we were in a hurry, and because we were just had a leisurely walk back to our room.
That sounds very much like my cruise experience, because, you know, on a cruise, a lot of times you'll get up, you'll do stuff on the ship, you go out for your, you know, your shore excursion, or as Disney Cruise Line calls them, your port adventure, and everybody kind of goes their, you know, their way to do whatever it is on whatever port you're in that day. Then everybody comes back in the evening and convenes for dinner and shares stories and gets together and kind of, you know, when you have that meal at night together, that's when the stories happen. That's when a lot of the friendships are strengthened and the stories are created. And I love that you guys kind of had that opportunity to sit down and Art of Animation. I mean, folks, a lot of, you know, I know a lot of our listeners will stay a lot at deluxes or moderates and maybe have never had the experience of an Art of Animation or a Pop Century food court. But I'm telling you, there's great options there. It's a decent value, really a lot of options. And if you have kids, there's really, you can find something for everybody. I love both places.
Yeah. And you feel like you can just linger, especially in the evening where you don't feel like if you're at a sit down, well, we need to turn this table over for them. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice to just kind of sit there and take our time and really, you know, make some memories and talk about our memories.
I love having this podcast just so we can tell stories just like this. It's kind of, you know, selfish because I love hearing these stories. Like, I'm smiling right now. It's so fun for me, and I hope it is for our listeners. So as we wrap this up, of course, this trip was last year about this time. So a couple questions. Mm-hmm. How were the weather and the crowds in your opinion? Because you said you've been there 10, 15 times. So you have a lot of frame of reference. Mm-hmm. Was this a great time to go? Would you go this time again?
We really like April. The weather's nice and it's not too, we used to live in Michigan, so we were still getting away from snow when we went in April. The crowds were fine. I could tell on the weekend now that they have food at Flower and Garden, like it started like around dinner time. I could tell it was starting to get a little more crowded, and that's when we were heading out. So I would advise if you're not really into crowds and there is a festival at Epcot to avoid that in the evening.
Good tip. All right. So as we close out, do you have any advice for folks that are thinking about going on a multi-generational trip or even somebody who's taken a preschooler for the first time? You know, because we have listeners that are at all aspects. We have listeners that have been over 100 times. We have a lot of listeners who've never been, but they're getting ready and they're overwhelmed. They're like, I don't really know where to start. I don't know what to expect with, you know, multi-generational or little kids or what have you. So what lessons have you learned that you could leave our listeners with that might help them plan a better vacation?
I would say you cannot communicate enough. We did a lot of, we're meeting at this time, at this place in the morning, and letting everyone know what the plans are for the week. I make a spreadsheet that just has, you know, when our fast passes are, if we happen to have a dining reservation, even what the park hours are, who has extra magic hours. I think that might be the teacher in me. I just need to be prepared, and I like everyone else to be prepared.
You're preaching.
So I feel like, you know, with cell phones, it's so easy to send a text to be like, hey, I'm going to be 10 minutes late, instead of maybe your party's waiting for you, wondering where you are. So I say you cannot over communicate when you have a big group like that.
That is so true. Keep going. I'm just saying that is, oh my gosh, that is so true. Send a text if you're going to be late so everybody else isn't waiting.
Exactly. I mean, because we all have stuff that comes up. I mean, just send a quick text and then we're not like, oh my goodness, has something really happened to you? Where are you? And as for little kids, one of the things that I wasn't too good at is having bus line entertainment, because those bus lines are not very exciting. So definitely kind of have some maybe like games in your back pocket. If you maybe have older kids who are bored, maybe have some trivia cards available. Just a lot of things kind of broke down in the bus line, I would say, or maybe even have a minivan budget.
Yes.
So you don't have to wait in that bus line so often. Maybe, you know, okay, I'm going to allow myself a couple minivan rides home if I feel like things are just going to break down. I like the minivans because I'm kind of a car seat fanatic, and I really like the training that they have in car seats and when you have a young child, and that's pretty important. So, yeah, and have extra snacks and drinks, more than you think they will eat.
You know what? And it's not just for the kids. I'll be honest. You can rate it yourself. You know what? Goldfish tastes good at any age.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want anyone hangry. So make sure you have all the snacks.
I've had a Capri Sun back in my day when it was for the kids. Exactly. Oh, sorry. There's none left. Well, there was two in the bag. Well, we must have dropped them. I don't know. I don't know what happened. You know, it's hot. So, yeah, and those are great tips. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that we've discovered to kind of entertain, I don't know if it worked with a four-year-old because kind of young, but, you know, once you get into like kindergarten, first grade, you know, we just download. Somebody always has that heads up game on their smartphone where you just,
yeah.
I mean, I say we do this with 6-year-olds. Actually, mm-hmm. We do this with like Paige and Hannah, who are in college, graduated college, and all the adults. We play that like while we're waiting in line. You know, it's fun. Like, and you see a lot of guests that will be doing that. But you know, I think that's so important to kind of proactively think about when you have a lot of downtime. Not that we always have to be entertained. I hate to have to say mm-hmm. that because I'm not. I think I preach to my daughter, it's okay to be bored. Like, you don't have to be doing something yeah. every second. But you know what? I'm always worried that my kid is going to distract or disturb some other guest having a good time. You know, so I'm always like trying to, how can I be proactive to keep everybody happy here? Not just like if my kid's happy, then everybody around me isn't being, you know, looking at us like that kid's out of control. So that's a great tip.
That
you know, just think
yeah,
about it and have some stuff
exactly
in your back
pocket. That is exactly the way I am. I am more worried about, yeah, her distracting other people or things like that. So I was definitely for our next trip, I'm like, okay, what can I have in my back pocket? You know, what can be in my toolbox so that I am prepared to kind of distract her from waiting in this kind of boring bus line.
Hey, well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a lot of fun. Sounds like you guys have some great Disney trips and, you know, we might have to sit down and just have a, you know, before we knew Ricky kind of show someday. That'd be kind of fun before we knew her.
That would be a lot.
I'm glad she's out of the country as we record this tonight. So.
Exactly. I was just thinking that, too. I'm like,
it's a good time to record. She's in Paris. All right, Stephanie, thank you so much. And you have a great week. And again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. Don't stand in lines. You know what? Hey, if you have touringplans.com, it really does cut down the time. You have to play heads up or, you know, bribe your kids with those glow necklaces and all that stuff. And for the cost of a couple of a couple of Dole Whips down at Walt Disney World, you're getting 365 days of great information. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And please support the show anytime you shop online. Click through our Amazon affiliate link. It costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits. Just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. Again, I'm going to be heading down to Walt Disney World in 2 days on Wednesday night. So lots of pictures coming this week from Walt Disney World. So follow me at Be Our Guest Mike and at Be Our Guest Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, lots of stuff heading to the Facebook page as well. It's facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. Check out the YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/Be Our Guest Podcast there. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you so much for kicking off another Monday with us here on the show. We'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. So for Stephanie, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.